Good to see you this morning. We welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren as we come together to celebrate and worship this morning. We certainly welcome everyone to our weekend worship service, those that are outside in the cars doing the drive-in, and for you that are in the adjacent rooms in the Sunday school room, we want to welcome all of you to our time of worship. We're glad that you're here. And that's what we've been doing since the pandemic has closed down our normal worship service. We have offered three different ways to worship. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. It's hard to believe that it's August already. Somehow I've missed the summer. That means fall is coming. And so with that, we're anticipating, again, because of the pandemic, we're not sure exactly what our fall is going to look like, but it's going to be different. We know that. We want to continue to pray for all of those that are preparing for and making plans for this fall, and may we ask God to guide us, give us wisdom that we might live through this time in a safe way. Well, again, I want to say welcome, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you this morning. You know, today is week six of our sermon series concerning truth. Knowing the truth during this pandemic can mean the difference between life and death. It is crucial to know what's the truth. Not just in a pandemic, but in life itself. How to live. How to have the abundant life. How to live in a way that we can have the confidence of eternal life. What's the truth? God gave us 10 truths for living, and they are called the 10 Commandments. And the overall intent of the 10 Commandments is to teach us how to show love. And the first and great commandment, as I've been saying over the weeks, is to love God with all of our strength and mind and heart and soul. And that is what the first four commandments teach, how to love God. Do you remember those four messages? Can you name those first four commandments? The first message was God first. In other words, the scripture said, no other God before me. The second message was no substitute. In other words, don't bow down and don't worship any graven image or anything except God. The third was, God's name is holy. Use not the Lord's name in vain. The fourth one was that you are to observe the Sabbath, to have a day of rest. Keep the Sabbath holy. Those are the first four are to teach us, show us how to love God when you obey those commands. Now, the second great commandment Jesus was talking about is to love your neighbor as yourself, which is what the last six commandments teach us on how to love. And last week we looked at honor parents, honor thy father and mother. And today we're going to look at the sixth commandment and how it will teach us truth on how to show love. And the message today is entitled, Let There Be Life. So here is truth number six in our series, Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. Now, I can almost bet there are some of you here this morning that are saying, we can skip this one. Probably your urge to murder doesn't happen very often. except when you're maybe on the highway in a hurry trying to get past the slow car in front of you. You might feel some anger and want to push them off the road or something like that. But probably your urge to murder is not very high. So maybe you think this one's not applicable to you. But did you know that by the time the average American child has hit the sixth grade, they have already witnessed over 8,000 murders on television? They have watched over 100,000 acts of violence on television and the internet. We live in a violent society. Every 20 minutes in America, somebody is stabbed or shot or beaten or strangled to death. And we have the highest homicide rate in the world. More kids die from violence than they do from illness. And when you look at this verse, "Thou shalt not murder," that seems like a very straightforward command. But actually, it's often misunderstood. It's misapplied. It's misappropriated. It's misinterpreted. And so what I want to do this morning is I want us to look at what does that mean and what does it not mean. So what does this command mean? No, that's not where I want to start. I want to start, what does this command not mean? Well, first of all, it is not prohibiting killing animals for food. The Bible is very clear about the difference between human life and animal life. In the Bible, many times God commanded that animals be sacrificed. One of the things you need to know is that God never contradicts himself. He wouldn't say one thing in one place and then say something different in contradiction of that in another place. Now, sometimes we read the scripture and it's hard for us to understand what the passages mean, but you need to interpret an unclear passage with a clear one to help you understand it. Many places in scripture, it's very clear that God says it's okay to kill animals for food. In Genesis 9:3, it says, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything." So I guess one side of that is you don't have to be a vegetarian unless you just want to be. There's a lot of health reasons for wanting to do that these days, but it's not commanded in the Bible. It's okay to eat animals for meat. You're given permission. The second thing about this command that it's not prohibiting punishment. Many times in Scripture, God commands punishment for certain crimes. He says some crimes cannot be ignored. In Leviticus 24, it says, "Anyone who commits murder shall be put to death." The principle is a life for a life. And that is very clear in the scripture. To maintain order in our society, it seems that God has delegated his authority to the government. The Bible says that God has allowed human governments to be set up to maintain law and order and to punish wrongdoers, even by death at times, under certain circumstances, if necessary. God wants justice, and he wants justice in the world. The third thing that this command is not, it's not prohibiting protecting the helpless. A lot of times we think about war and the horrors of war and the terrible things about war and that war is wrong, but God says there are some things that are worth fighting for. There are some things that are worth dying for. It's right to preserve justice and freedom. It's right to fight in order to defend innocent people. It's right to stand up to stop the spread of evil. All that is necessary for evil to triumph. If you want evil to triumph, all we need to do is for good people to do nothing. So, how does this command apply to showing us how to love? Ultimately, the sixth commandment is about more than just murder. And Jesus seemed to say that in the Matthew passage when he said, yeah, I know you've heard of murder, that's wrong. But you know what? When you are angry with someone, you're just as guilty as someone who has committed murder. Now, we don't often apply that to ourselves, but that's what Jesus said. And this commandment has more to do than just murder. The commandment has to do with the respect one has for people and the value one places on their lives. What God is saying is life matters, and life is of value. And I believe that is what the Black Lives Matter movement is all about. It goes back to this, that God says you should have respect for everyone's life. However, this command from God, it says no to taking your own life. God says don't do that. People say, well, but it's my life, and I have a right to live it and to take it away. You don't own your life, and you don't own the right to take it. We are not our own bosses to live and die as we ourselves might choose. Scripture says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Most of us at different times, I suspect, we have felt depressed or in despair enough to think, is life worth living? We've been under some tough situations where we may have asked that question. Is life worth living? But Jesus says, I have come to give you hope. Because you matter. You matter to God. God has made you for a purpose. He cares about you. And He can help you out of any despair that you may be feeling. There are people at this church, here at the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren, who care about one another. We care about what you're going through. And if you're having a hard time, you can talk with us. And if you will just let us know that you're going through this hard time, we cannot talk with you or we cannot help if we do not know this is happening. But we can help you through times of trouble. And God says no to taking your own life. Second, this command from God says no to mercy killing. The technical term for mercy killing is euthanasia. This is causing the death of someone because of a deformity, a handicap, or old age, or incurable disease. And I'm not talking about allowing natural causes and not artificially supporting life. I'm talking about causing the death of someone either because of inconvenience or because you don't think that their life is worth living anymore. God says you do not have a right to do that. In Job 12:10, it is God who directs the lives of His creatures, the Scripture says. Every man's life is in God's hands. Only God has a right to determine when I should stop living. He's chosen it for me, and He's chosen it for you. Here's a lesson in history. There was a guy a number of years ago who thought that he should have the right to determine who was fit to live and who wasn't. And his name was Hitler. And God says, you do not have a right to make that choice. That is mine. Third, this command from God says no to abortion. You know, in Psalm 139, it says, you, God, created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. And when my bones were being formed, when I was growing there in secret, you knew I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me were all recorded in your book before any of them ever began. And in this verse, the author of this psalm is talking about a baby and its mother. He says, you created me. You saw me. And God is saying that a person inside the mother is not a blob of tissue. You know, the number of deaths caused by the pandemic is staggering. When we turn on the news and we hear the news of how many people have died because of the pandemic, but did you know that every year in this country we legally kill over 1 million unborn babies, mostly for the sake of convenience? 26% of all pregnancies in America now end in abortion. That's one out of every four pregnancies. 30 million Americans have been killed through abortion. And that's more than all the wars put together. Life is no longer a sacred thing. It is a dispensable thing. And it's not surprising that the further our society moves away from God's commands, the less sacred society considers those things that God cherishes and says is right and wrong and what is truth. The sixth commandment was given to teach people to show love for life. So, what's the real reason behind this commandment? God says, you shall not murder. Basically, what God is saying is that human life is precious. It is sacred. And we ought to have the utmost respect for all human life. Why? I believe there's two main reasons. Why is life sacred? And why is it to be respected? First, human life is sacred because we are created in the image of God. God created all of life, including plants and animals. But if you look at Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that humans were created in a different way than the way all other things were created. In every other act of creation, God said, let there be. And it was so. Let there be light. Let there be plants. Let there be birds and fish. And it was so. God spoke and creation occurred. But the creation of human life was different. God said, let us make man. God didn't just speak us into existence as he did everything else. He formed us. He made us. We are the closest thing in all creation to God. We are the only part of creation made in the image of God. In Genesis 2:7, it says that God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living being. And God didn't breathe the breath of life into any other creature, only man and woman. So the first reason human life is sacred is because we're created in the image of God. The second reason human life is precious is because the price that was paid for it. What is a human life worth? Paul writes in Romans 5:8, he said, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We are worth so much that Jesus Christ was willing to give his life so that we might know salvation. We all have sinned. We have all failed. We have all missed the mark. But that is the good news of the Bible, is that it doesn't end with our failures. It is there that the good news is, even when we have failed, that if we're willing to repent and to confess our failures, that God will forgive us. Did you know that most of the Bible was written by three men who were murderers? The Apostle Paul, King David, and Moses. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, most of the books there. David wrote all the Psalms. Moses gave much of the Old Testament books of instructions. There we find that Paul and David and Moses all took the life of another person. Yet they came to God and they were forgiven. And God used them in a great way, even after their great sin. And that's the message of grace, and that's the message of the Bible, and that's the message of Jesus. It doesn't matter so much where you've been and what you've done, and what really matters is, where are you headed today? Who are you calling upon today? That's the message of grace. Where do you stand before God? That's a question I want to ask as we conclude this message this morning. Where do you stand before God today? Are you in His grace? Are you in need of His grace? The Bible teaches us that life is a sacred gift from God. We are to love life, and to seek to preserve it and to sanctify it. We are to be for life. The principle of the sixth commandment is a call to respect life and to care about it. That means that if we want to see the true value of human beings, we need to see them from God's perspective. Because the only way to truly cherish the lives of other people is to see each and every person the way that God sees them. They are a child of God. They are a creation of God. They have been given life by God. God made them in His image, and they are worth everything. Everything. God would go to no end to give life to the person who calls upon Him. And that's why God sent the life of His only Son to die for them, so that you and I might have life, precious life, forgiven life, eternal life. Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you so much for your gift of life and the breath of life that you breathe in each one of us today. Lord, we thank you that you have come to us to give us what we need most. But Heavenly Father, we need to know the truth. We need your wisdom. Lord, give me your vision and help me to see that life is precious because we are created in your image. Help me to see that I have life because you are breathing the breath of life in me. Forgive me for not seeing my life for what it really is. Help me to see what's really true about you and your gift of life to every person. I want my life to become only focused on you. Thank you for this church and its ministry that helps me to hear the truth. Lord, show me the way to come to you today. Let me see that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me so that I might live. And I come now, and I surrender my all to him. And I pray this in your name. Amen.